This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day, WWE, WWE, the worldwide leader, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We're going to have a fantastic show for you tonight, as we always do, and I feel like I've kind of mangled the WWE pay-per-view schedule, since they have one every day, seems like. It actually worked out that for the second consecutive show, I think it may actually work out the next time, too, our show falls on the eve of a pay-per-view. 2 weeks ago, episode 61, myself and great friend of the show, the Godfather Nate Milton, we previewed Backlash, the first, although it's not first, I love how we're just going to dispel the 2000s, the SmackDown-only pay-per-view. This Sunday, the Red Brand gets its turn, as Raw has its first ever exclusive pay-per-view, other than all the ones from 2003 to 2007. nobody that we all, I guess, are supposed to forget, because they said it at least four times on Monday night. First ever Raw exclusive pay-per-view since Bad Blood 03 and Unforgiven 03, etc., etc. Clash of Champions will be this Sunday from the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana. So tonight, of course, we will preview that fine pay-per-view and talk a little bit about the two shows, which we seem to kind of update every time we're here on Main Event. SmackDown looking good, Raw, not so much. But can't do that without introducing my two guests who are on the opposite ends of the experience spectrum here on Main Event. We have a hardened member of the Core Four, and a newbie, not only making his Main Event debut, making his podcast debut, and he's only been on PlaceToBeNation.com for 3 weeks. Talk about a newbie, breaking him in. We'll get to him in a second. First off, though, my favorite person on the planet, a guy that I don't do podcasts with enough, even though he is a member of the Core Four. We hadn't done a show for quite a few months, and then now this is the second one in 2 weeks that we are together. He is the purveyor of Marvel.com. He is a consistent, exceptional contributor to PlaceToBeNation.com. And, of course, he is the host of the weekly, of the monthly Place to Be Nation Rewind series. Mr. Ben Morris.
Thank you, Scott. And as a veteran, I'm excited to hold the young guy down, make sure he doesn't get over, reinforce that glass ceiling.
Exactly. As I always say, and as my favorite wrestler always says, it's good for business. Benji, always a pleasure, man. Always good to have you on. And now, making his everything debut, this is his Main Event debut, this is his Place to Be Nation podcast debut, and he has only been on PlaceToBeNation.com three times, but he has been right out of the gate, him and I, the co-authors of the brand new column to the site this year, Campus Hot Takes, every Tuesday or Wednesday. We go over the past weekend in college football. A lot of stuff going on in the college football, and of course the newest column posted today. So let me bring him in, Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, welcome to Main Event.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Great, another Southerner. I love it. So now officially, I have to have Logan, Chad, and Chris Zellner on. There we go. Then it'll really be. Booking.
Good old boys.
It'd be like booking in WCW.
The redneck trio.
That's right. Instead of the gold dust trio, the redneck trio. Of course, yeah. Also a long-suffering alum of another, mid-card SEC university, for you are a Bulldog, correct?
Yes, Mississippi State. Yeah, it's been a big struggle throughout the years, but at least we've been good these past couple of years.
You have, and you have an exceptional quarterback as an alumni in the great Dak. Wait, right, Mississippi State? Yeah.
Yeah.
The great. I always get Mississippi State and South Carolina confused. The great Dak Prescott, who's of course the quarterback of America's team. Logan, welcome to Main Event. It's great to have you on.
Good to be here.
All right, we've got a pay per view coming up Sunday. Clash of Champions, the Raw only pay per view. All the red belts are on the line, and the one purple belt.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, the one purple belt, and I got a point to make about that in a minute, which is actually very cool. But of course, let's see. So that means. Kevin Owens, the Universal Champion, Rusev, the United States Champion, Charlotte, the Women's Champion, New Day, the Tag Team Champions, and of course now TJ Perkins, the Cruiserweight Champion, all will be putting their belts on the line on Sunday. Before we get to that, though, and right now there's 7 matches and 1 pre-show match. And we'll get to the pre-show match in a minute. There's only one match that does not have... There's 2 matches that don't have belts on the line. And one pre-show match, which involves 2 women superstars. Every week...
Still getting used to that, Scott?
I know. I almost said divas, yeah. and then Jordan would have turned the show off. But women's wrestlers...
What are they going to do when Total Divas comes back?
Call it Total Women?
Total women?
Yeah, it's going to be Total Women, I guess.
it doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
No, it really doesn't.
They might just cancel it.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, Ben. Since you are a Total Divas expert, and of course you were an exceptional, you and the wonderful
Miss... me and Jen Engel, we did it as long as we possibly could.
Exactly. Let me ask you something. Will it help or hurt Total Divas with the Bellas gone and on their own show?
I don't know that the Bellas are gone. I think they're getting their spinoff show, and then they're also getting to be on Total Divas. Was my understanding.
That is awful.
Well, I mean, as a fan of the show, I would hate to see the Bellas gone. I'm super excited for Total Bellas. They're the 2 most compelling characters on the show. So
you're telling me Big Johnny isn't anymore? Big Johnny.
Big Johnny's on Total Bellas.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be the most compelling guy on the show because he's going to be a total clod and screw everything up. It's going to be it's going to be a sitcom. It's not even going to be reality.
it's pretty much a sitcom now.
Well, it's true. But imagine if Big Johnny and Cena are sitting in the in the foyer and they're like, Johnny, no hard feelings when I got you fired, right? Back at No Way Out 2012. No, it's all good. It's all good. People power lives forever. So that should be interesting. But if their Bellas aren't on as much, I can't see them being on all the time.
Well, they've also got a great new infusion of new divas or women coming in this season because they're adding Maryse, they're adding Lana, and they're adding Renee Young. So that might make up for the lack of Bellas.
Mm. Is Paige staying?
Paige is, they've already filmed her part of the season, so even if she gets, released next month, they're still going to presumably have hours and hours of footage of her and Del Rio. I mean, that's the big thing, is supposedly they shot a lot of stuff with her and Del Rio, so even though he's gone, he's presumably still going to be on Total Divas. As always, the Total Divas verse will be completely distinct and separate from the WWE universe.
Exactly. Totally different. It's like Star Wars rebooting.
Yeah,
pretty much. Adding the new canon, but all right. Well, we'll see. You and I have to talk about that, Ben, as the season, because I almost want to start watching the backlog. Almost, I don't know. We'll see.
I've said that about a million times.
I know, right? Oh God, but if you guys want to, all you listeners, go back to the catalogs. We do have the index on PlaceBeNation.com, and go back and read Ben and Jen. You guys were awesome.
Thank you.
I had my openly disdain for the show, but I did not have disdain for your guys' column. That was not the point.
We had a good time.
Yeah, no, you guys had a blast. We need more Jen. All right. We are now, what, 9 weeks into the split?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah. SmackDown seems to be level. Raw just seems to be getting worse. The numbers are atrocious. We'll get into the pay-per-view later on and probably into segment two. But, Logan, what do you think is wrong? Let's take out the 3 hours, because we know that's a problem. So let's take that out. Let's take that out of the equation. We know 3 hours is a complete buzzkill and is ruining that show. We know that part. What is the problem on Raw right now? All the young guys are champions. All the guys, the superstars and women that the fans like are champions finally. Kevin Owens, Charlotte, New Day, no Roman, no Cena, like none of the guys everybody can't stand. Everybody that's a champion is people, superstars that the fans for the most part like. So what is the problem?
You know, I'm not sure, but Mick Foley was really, really awful on Monday. He flubbed a bunch of lines when he was cutting promos. I just feel like SmackDown tells so much better stories, and they are more consistent with their storylines, and I just feel like Raw just can't ever seem to get it right. Just like with Owens losing the cage match to Reigns on Monday, like... What is that? I don't even know. But I just feel like the storylines on SmackDown are just so much more consistent, and Raw just can't seem to get it right no matter what they do.
I watched Raw. Now, I very rarely watch Raw live now. I usually watch it the next day on Hulu, and even 90 minutes of Raw is bad. Now, I haven't watched a Braun Strowman match since the split because they cut that out. Most of the squashes are cut out. But so I don't catch everything on on Raw that everybody else sees. But I noticed it tonight. It's the production. Ben, back me up on this or counter me on this. Your call. The first segment of Raw Monday night felt exactly like 75% of the opening of a Raw since the 1999 Royal Rumble. Babyface comes out, pisses and moans he got screwed. Authority figures come out, whether they're faces or heels, go through some type of, you know, question of faith or conscience, or we're doing the best we can, or there's some bickering. Then they do something to make that babyface happy. Then out comes the heel champion, pisses and moans he's getting screwed. Then either they book another match or another babyface comes out. In this case, another babyface comes out. The first 15 minutes of Raw Monday night was the same as every Raw or a huge majority of Raws since Vince McMahon won the 1999 Royal Rumble. You can interchange Reigns with Austin, Owens with heel Rock, Rollins as Foley, or you can interchange. You could say Stephanie's Vince and Foley is some babyface. Some babyface authority figure of some sort. The camera angles are the same. The announcing sounds the same. Everything sounds the same and looks the same. One thing about SmackDown Live, you have those cool camera angles. Everything on SmackDown Live just seems fresher. Meanwhile, everything on Raw looks the same as it did in 1999. And that's two words for you, Kevin Dunn. Am I wrong, Ben?
No, I think you're right, Scott. I think... SmackDown was, when we all reviewed the draft, we thought SmackDown was getting short shift. They didn't get as many people. They didn't get the cruiserweights. They didn't get all the titles. But I think you've seen stuff to try to balance it out in their eyes, because I think in their eyes, they probably saw SmackDown as the inferior show. And to that end, they were given more bells and whistles in terms of production. You have to factor in stuff like Talking Smack, which has been a great breeding ground for great segments and great feuds.
Yes, I'm going to get to that in a minute, but go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, just the outside the box thinking is all going on SmackDown. The idea that someone like AJ Styles, who would never get a shot in the past WWE, is now the champion, and he's the most compelling character in the company. He's the most, like, he's who everybody wants to watch. You got John Cena playing a good role over there. You got Dean Ambrose kind of settling into those. It feels like the guys on SmackDown are being, and see if you agree with me on this one, Scott and Logan, it seems like they're being allowed to improvise and go off the script a little bit more. Like, it's not, you know, it's not the 1990s, not the Attitude Era where they're ad-libbing left and right, but something like, I feel like a guy like The Miz or a guy like Dolph Ziggler is being given freedom to do stuff they haven't been able to do in years, not cutting, as you said, the same cookie-cutter promos and not adhering to the exact same story structure that has been in place for well over a decade. It does feel like they're doing something new on SmackDown. It feels a lot like what they were doing in NXT not too long ago. So I think, you know, your insight into the influence and who's involved in Raw and who might not be involved in SmackDown is pretty dead on.
Mm. Logan, is the addition of talking smack helping SmackDown? Because somebody said, I don't know if it was one of our chats, Ben, or I heard it from somewhere, that the reason SmackDown seems fresher is that other than the occasional segment that may not be that long, or it's just because that's how he is, the authority figures on SmackDown are not as overbearing as the ones on Raw. Stephanie?
Well, they're not. They're just by nature of who they are, they're not.
Right.
The authority figures you have on Raw, you have Stephanie, who's always going to eclipse whoever she's in the ring with, because that's her nature. You have Mick Foley, who did not come back to, you know, be a part-timer. And then on the flip side, you have Shane, who comes out, gets his applause, and then goes back. And you have Daniel Bryan, who everyone wants to see more of. So it's like it's the opposite. With Foley, you get too much of him. With Daniel Bryan, you're always left wanting more.
Right.
And it's intriguing how he could be involved.
Right. And the other thing is, Daniel Bryan doesn't have that grand presence. He could be like, he opened SmackDown. First off, you will not, I repeat, not, no matter how bombastic and how huge the personalities in the women's division on Raw are, Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, you will not see a women's championship contract signing segment on Raw. Absolutely not. But you did see it on SmackDown. And Daniel Bryan was on the first, like, 10 minutes of the show, but Daniel Bryan sits back and lets the two competitors do the talking. If that was Raw and it was, like, Charlotte and Sasha, Foley and Stephanie would be all over that like Poison Ivy.
Yeah, the two ladies wouldn't even get a chance to say anything.
Exactly, but exactly. So let me ask you, Logan, if Raw had a post-show where they had like a like Keeping It Raw or some goofy title, which will probably suck.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Raw talk.
Thank you. But let's say they had that and they were able to siphon Foley off until that show. Would it help Raw a little bit? Kind of help the roster a little bit if they had a post show? Do you think that would help Raw a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. I'm not quite sure. I think having a post show couldn't hurt in any way, but maybe not have Foley on there. Maybe just do like Corey Graves and a person from the roster or something like that every week. Just have guests and just give it to Corey Graves and maybe Michael Cole, I guess. Nobody really wants to hear from him, I guess, but
well, you know, you just gave me a good idea. What if they did the post show from the arena with the three guys? With Cole, I mean, everyone knows Byron Saxton's like talking to a couch, and Corey Graves, even that I think would be cool. I don't mind Cole hosting; it's all right. He's fine.
I think you're underestimating how good Renee Young is on that, Scott. I think she feels so different than the other announcers. I mean, since she came into the company, we've all been talking about how she's such a breath of fresh air, and now I think they have that's just another edge that SmackDown has. They have the person who feels most like they could be doing a post show on their own. I think you could put Corey Graves out there like Logan suggested, and it would have at least somewhat of a new feel. But I think, you know, again, Raw, it's same old, same old. SmackDown, it's something new. Renee Young hosting her own show is, you know, a female-led talk show is something new, something they probably wouldn't try on Raw.
Correct.
They probably would go to the standard Michael Cole hosting it, as they would. But no, I think it's very telling that it's a lot easier to say things that SmackDown is doing right than what Raw is doing wrong, because Raw really isn't doing anything. It's just continuing. It's like you said, it's continuing to be the exact same thing.
Yeah, and I think Now, remember, Raw, when it was live in the pre-split and the pre-move of SmackDown, had the, what was it, backstage pass, which they did the pre-show, the post-show after. The Raw, I'm sometimes kind of an OCD completist. Since the split, I stopped doing it this week, because by the time I watch it, it's a waste of time. I actually watched the two pre-shows. I watched the Raw pre-show the next day, because I'm like that. I'm weird like that. But
good for you.
But thank you. But I realized it's a waste of time. First of all, Scott Stanford is atrocious. Secondly, I love Lita and I love Booker, but Jerry just doesn't want to be there. I mean, it's obvious.
Right. He's just collecting a paycheck.
Exactly. He feels like he was demoted, so he's being a dick to Scott Stanford, and he's trying to play the heel, but at times he almost feels like he could care less. And I think Lita and Booker go to great lengths to try to expose that. So I think that's just a colossal waste of time to have a pre-show. I just think it's pointless. To your thing, Ben, about Renee Young, I have to say, it goes back to the personalities. If Renee Young hosted a Raw post show with Foley, Stephanie, I think she'd get chewed up and spit out. The thing about the talk and smack is, because Daniel Bryan's just not like that. Renee Young is solid. Sometimes I think she doesn't sell the storylines as much as she should, and I'll get to an example in a minute. But I like her. I do like her. I think you need a different post show host for Raw, just because I think you need somebody who can equally go at. If they do have, like, Stephanie and Foley on, I think you need somebody that can counter them.
Yeah, if you could have Renee Young, but you got to get somebody other than Foley and Steph. Nobody wants to hear from them more than they already had
No, and I agree with you 100%, Logan. I'm just using them as an example because that's what they do for talking smack. Is having the authority figures. But you even see Shane comes on, every other week for 30 seconds. Like, there's a running gag that Renee threw him off show and now he's being a jerk and won't come back on, but that's fine. my only issue with Renee is sometimes she doesn't sell a storyline or an injury or something that kind of needs to be a little more serious. I'll give you an example. The week that the Usos attacked American Alpha and messed up, even in storyline, messed up Chad Gable's leg. Daniel on the Talk and Smack that week was trying to be serious, if he could be serious for a moment, and Renee, like, didn't know how to handle it. Because, like, the next thing she says is, he'd be trying to be serious about it and then go, so American Alpha, you still have that bromance with them, don't you? Like, she kind of, like, no-sold it, and I said, you know what, Renee, you might still need to do some work on that. But that's my only real criticism of her. I think the show's fine. I think her and Daniel are fine. Daniel is serious enough to where he's believable as GM, but self-deprecating enough that he's easier to deal with than Stephanie and Foley, who are not self-deprecating and will never allow themselves to be.
To say the least.
Let's talk about the Cruiserweights for a minute. They debuted on Monday night, and they had a great four-way with my favorite cruiserweight of all time, Cedric Alexander. Although I think I've gained a new love for Rich Swann. Those guys are both awesome. I wish one of them won. No knock on Brian Kendrick, who of course won, and he'll face TJ Perkins on Sunday for the purple belt. What do you think of the belt, Logan? In case you don't know, you'll get to know me as a wrestling fan more as you listen to the show. I'm a belt junkie. What do you think of the cruiserweight belt? Do you like it? Is it cheesy? What do you think?
No, I really like it, honestly.
What do you think, Benji? Do you like it?
I was kind of hoping, I'll be honest with you, this is my OCD, Scott. I was thinking if it goes on Raw, it should be red. But okay. I guess people have pretty much rejected the Universal title because it's too red. So if they were going to go with a purple belt to kind of be a little more in between, that's one thing. But I'm also colorblind, so I thought it was blue.
I thought you were going to say everything looks gray.
No, that's not... Contrary to popular belief, that is not how colorblindness works. We do not see the world in gray. We just get colors confused sometimes. So I thought the belt was blue until I had it pointed out to me it was purple. So it's kind of a good halfway. And Other than that, though, it's good, though. I think it's a solid, simple design and works fairly well.
You know what else I liked? During that four-way, which is actually a fantastic match, by the way, on Monday night, they changed the color of the electric board on the camera side to purple. And they even made the Raw logo purple, which was kind of cool. I guess it was the official color of the tournament, so I think they're just kind of rolling with it.
Sure.
But I have no problem with the belt. It's kind of like they took that trophy and kind of threw it on a piece of leather. That's what it seems like almost. But I like
basically.
It. So TJ Perkins will face Brian Kendrick on Sunday.
Did y'all watch the Cruiserweight Classic, like all of it, or did you just...
I watched none of it, actually. I'm going to watch it in...
I'm
going to watch it only because I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it in bulk. So, some stuff I did watch. I watched the match with Cedric Alexander I just like Cedric when he got when he lost to
Kota
Ibushi. Yeah, Kota, and then Triple H kind of patted him on the back. I kind of marked out for that. I think the Cruiserweights, even though everyone says, well, they had to go on Raw, they have more time on the show and they need to fill. No, they don't. That's not the reason. That's not the reason. They're going to get lost in the three-hour show just like everything else gets lost on that show. And I think they should have their own hour. And I think they should do Cruiserweights from 8 to 9 and then Raw from 9 to 11. If USA wants wrestling from 8 to 11, that's fine. We can't have Raw from 8 to 11. Justin and I have been saying on the Place We Podcast way back, and even us, Ben, when we had the other guys on main event, that we've been talking about they need to break up that three-hour block, and they need to do something from 8 to 9. And I think just doing the cruisers would be very cool. Now, there's only, six cruisers on the show, so they probably couldn't do that. It would be difficult to do. But I feel like the tag segment with all the tag teams leading up to that eight-man or whatever the hell that match was a lot. Ten-man was a colossal waste of space. And I agree with you, Logan. Here's the thing. The bookers on Raw will contend, well, Kevin Owens didn't get, quote, pinned. He just didn't fall to the floor quick enough. So it's okay that Roman Reigns won that match because he didn't actually pin Kevin Owens. And then, of course, Kevin Owens and Rusev beat the crap out of Roman Reigns until Seth Rollins came out to save them, which also bothers me because I think Seth Rollins should, and I'm going to ask you this, Benji, since Seth is your boy.
Yep.
I don't think Seth Rollins should be treated like a full-fledged babyface. I think he should be treated still like a tweener who's been wronged. He shouldn't now be Roman Reigns' friend, but they're not going to do that, are they? They're going to be like, all right, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, too. And they'll be buds. And I think that's a terrible idea. What do you think?
No, I agree with you. I think the appeal of Seth Rollins is that he's the bad guy you want to root for because he's so good. And that should continue to be his character. His character should... He can lose some of the whining and hiding behind the authority, but he already did that since his return from injury. I think he's already kind of adjusted his character to a guy who just goes out, kicks ass, and isn't friends with anybody. I mean, he should be closer to Steve Austin Attitude Era than just generic, you know, Hogan era babyface friend of Hogan, because that's essentially what Roman is. Roman is Hogan, and you know they want Seth to be his little sidekick, and I don't think that's going to work at all. I mean, I think one of the things we didn't touch on is the fact that the Roman Reigns love affair, while it may not be first and foremost the thing that you see on Raw anymore, it's still in effect.
Oh, yeah.
It's still happening. He's still in main events. He's still beating the champion. And that's another thing that hurts Raw because it's not what people want to see. We've voted with our voices. We've voted with our dollars. We've voted with the ratings. We've universally said Roman Reigns is not what we want. But they continue to insist on pushing Roman Reigns, babyface Roman Reigns, and all iterations of that. And until that stops, that's going to be a problem that Raw faces. It's a handicap.
Mm. What do you think of Seth's character, Logan? Do you think it's evolved into a hybrid, or do you think eventually they're just going to make him a like a regular baby face and not, you know, and just make him a, like, just switch him? Or do you think they could keep, you think they're going to keep him in this hybrid? What do you think of Seth's switch here?
I mean, I've loved Seth since he got to WWE, but I kind of hope they stick with the hybrid, just because I don't want to see him be full-fledged babyface and just be just like Roman Reigns. And I really enjoyed his heel work, but I mean, I really don't want to see him go full-fledged babyface and just pander to the fans and all like that, all stuff like that. I like what he's doing right now, and I kind of hope he stays with the character he's got going right now.
Yeah. I mean, honestly. Yeah, and I mean, you've got – he wants the belt, and he still wonders why, you know, Triple H hosed him. And frankly, I think we need Triple H to come out, and I think there needs to be some type of closure to that. Stephanie is not going to – her trying to justify it, and the minute I heard the story – the minute I heard the – when I heard their promo Monday night when they were in the office. I love how Seth's like, oh, look at this office. Reminds me of so many memories. You know, like every arena that your office is made. curtains and posters. Oh, I'm like, give me a break. But when Stephanie was like, you know, trying to justify to Seth, I didn't know. But then when she went, but you know what? Maybe he's right. Bingo. Done. The minute she did that, oh, this storyline just lost all its ingenuity. Now Stephanie's just going to settle in and be a pro Owens guy instead of still trying to figure out what her husband was doing. Like that little intrigue was working for the storyline. But when she started like, oh, maybe Owens is the guy, and maybe you are, you know, maybe you're not the guy anymore. Like once she started kind of skewing back to the heel way, then you realize, well, this storyline just lost all its creativity. What do you think, Ben?
No, I agree with you. I think having Stephanie and Triple H on different pages is something different than we've seen over the past, 15, 16 years. And it would be nice to see them at odds. And I do agree also that Triple H needs to – there was an immediacy to his actions that not knowing why he did what he did is going to overshadow the guys who are still on screen and the guys who have to carry the week to week.
Right.
Seth Rollins can't rightly feud with Kevin Owens when he's technically also feuding with Triple H. And as long as it's open-ended, he's going to be technically feuding with Triple H. And that is a disservice to Kevin Owens. He needs to have a challenger who's fully devoted to trying to take the belt off of him and not looking over his shoulder. Because I'm sure Triple H is going to show up again on Sunday at Clash of Champions, and we'll talk about it. But I think, you know, it would be weird if his presence isn't felt there, and then it's just going to completely cut off Owens' momentum as champion.
Let's talk about the women. It's now a triple threat, Charlotte, Sasha, Bayley, which I'm not a fan of. No, this is not because I don't like Bayley, Ben. It's because...
You don't like Bayley, though.
I've warmed up to Bayley. I've warmed up to her. I didn't think she'd fit on... I will say this. I didn't think she'd fit on Raw. I thought her character was too kiddie. It was fine for the. It was kind of the same thing with what character did I? Who did I say this about? I said their gimmick worked on. Oh, I think it was. It might have been. Was it Tyler Breeze? And I was right. His gimmick was good in a 2,000 seat building, but was not going to. Oh no, it was Adam Rose. It was Adam Rose, and I was right. I was right. His gimmick would work in a 2,000 seat place, but not in a 20,000 seat place. And I was right.
I think we all said that.
I think we all did say that. We were right here on Main Event. Right here in the internet. I'm trying to do a bad Foley plug. And that got stupid yesterday, too. Although I did kind of dig the byplay between Foley and Jericho. That was kind of cool. I don't hate you.
Jericho's one of the best things going on Raw right now.
He really is.
The best thing going on Raw right now.
Yeah, I love me some Jericho.
Yeah, the t-shirts have been cool again. And I like when Foley said, I don't hate you. I don't really like you lately. But it was really funny. But
Foley's definitely at his best interacting with Jericho.
There should be two separate matches on Sunday for the women. Automatically, we're sticking Bayley in the title match. We haven't even given Sasha a legit rematch yet, and already Bayley gets thrown in. Like, there's no creativity where these women are slow, you know, where these women wrestlers are slowly working their way up. Bayley's been here what? A month? And already she's getting a title shot, and we haven't even kind of finished the storyline with Charlotte and Sasha. They're just shoving everybody into title matches without really building any of them. Am I off base on that, Ben? Again, I'm not saying that Bayley's not ready. What I'm saying is I feel like they're being lazy with the storyline of Charlotte's opponents to where we need to finish off Charlotte and Sasha. Then we'll give Bayley her shot. Why throw her in this match on Sunday?
I'm of two minds on the whole thing. On the one hand, I agree with you, and I see your points, and I think they could have two separate feuds going on. I mean, they have other characters they could be working in. They could have, instead of Alicia Fox being paired with Nia Jax, they could have paired Bayley with her. They worked well together in NXT.
They did.
And have her sort of earn her way into getting a title shot, be it against Sasha or against Charlotte. On the other hand, there's the whole analogy of don't fix it if it ain't broke. Mm-hmm. And these girls used to have tremendous triple threat and fatal four-way matches down in NXT.
They did.
So
you're right.
I can't help but wonder if they're trying to recapture some of the magic in that by putting them together again, seeing if they can work together to have such a great match like they did back in NXT.
I like that thinking, Ben. Okay. Fair enough. That's a good assessment. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I think they're more worried about the match, honestly, more than storyline, like it making sense or anything. But they know that those three women can go out there and have an amazing match, and they're just banking on that. So the pay-per-view will be a success.
I think that's. I think you're right. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but I can understand the thinking. If their reasoning, Ben, is that reason, then I'm okay with it. I don't agree with it, but I'm not gonna. If it's gonna entertain me Sunday night, then I can't bitch. I just wish that Bayley can get her shot a little bit later on down the line and let her kind of work a little bit with other women. While it's hard to not call them divas, I'm not saying that as an insult. It's just hard to we'd be calling them divas for 12 years, whatever the hell it is. And just have Sasha and Charlotte because they have great chemistry together. And I'd like to see them one more time to see if Sasha gets her belt back or whatever. Let's talk about Rusev, because as we've seen on SmackDown, I'm trying to keep this very Raw centric because we have the Raw pay-per-view, so I don't want to. That's one of the new things I'd like to work here on Main Event is focus on the brand that we're going to have that the pay-per-view is coming up on. So I'm trying to keep this very Raw centric, but I will say this. The Miz on SmackDown has been tremendous as the Intercontinental Champion.
Yes.
I have not hated Rusev as U.S. Champion, but Rusev's a little different. He's not as effervescent as The Miz is, and Lana is not Maryse. How has Rusev been as U.S. Champion on Raw, Logan? A thumbs up for you, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle?
Thumbs up. He's been a good U.S. champ, and he's had some good matches, but he wasn't on TV, I think, last week, maybe. And I don't know. That bothered me a little bit.
I don't think he's been on for a couple weeks.
It might have been a couple of weeks, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, but I wasn't sure. But, yeah.
The man was on his honeymoon, people.
Yeah.
Give him a chance.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think
we don't have time for honeymoons. Vince didn't even go on a honeymoon, Ben. Come on. Vince's honeymoon with Linda was a house show in Bangor, Maine. Probably. Probably. But they were selling something. Weren't they selling an injury or whatever?
Bangor just married her.
But did Jordan just message you that joke?
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you, Jordan.
Now,
were they selling like injuries from SummerSlam, maybe, or was he on after that? I don't remember.
There was a reason why he wasn't on camera.
No, they flat out said he was on his honeymoon.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Oh, is that what?
I don't even remember.
They said on camera.
I don't even remember.
Okay.
I honestly never remember that. but that's okay. I think Rusev's been booked fine. Again, he's not The Miz, so it's not you can't make that comparison. That comparison can't be made. As if we're trying to compare, the two belts on the two shows. I think Rusev's been fine. You notice, guys, both shows very heel heavy. The shows are almost identical. Both your main champions are heels. Both your secondary champions are heels. Both your tag champions are baby faces. The only difference is the women's champs. You have a heel on. You have a heel on Raw, and you have a baby face on SmackDown. And of course, Raw has the extra belt. They have the Cruiserweight belt. Is that on purpose, Ben? Do you think that's intentional that the title, in terms of booking, the title holders are almost symmetrical?
No, I don't think it's some grand conspiracy or anything. Okay. I think it's more just that both shows have recently reset, and when you start a storyline, it tends to be heel champion, babyface chasing. That's how you start things out, and then gradually you move to the babyface getting the win that they have to work towards. If you have the babyface in place with the prize right away, it feels a little off kilter because you've got heels trying to earn something. So I think just the basic storytelling, you want the bad guys to be winning at the beginning of the show, the beginning of the story, so that in the third act we can have the good guys get their comeuppance.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. I'm glad you said this because it opens up a new question. And then, Logan, I want your thoughts. Would Raw be different, thumbs up or thumbs down, if there was no injury and Finn Balor was your champion?
I think it would be maybe a little bit better just because it would be someone new on top. But really, Kevin Owens is a beloved new face who's getting exposure too. The only difference is he's a heel. But I think, you know, it would have been a different flavor, but I think ultimately all the things we said that were wrong with Raw, all the things to do with the time, all the things to do with the authority figures, all the things to do with the formatics, everything, it would still be the same. Finn Balor on top's not going to change any of that. So it would have been a breath of fresh air for maybe a second. Sure, I don't think Finn Balor is the cure-all panacea fix to everything, though.
Yes, and I did notice you said formatics.
Yeah, that was for you, baby.
I know it was. what are your thoughts on that? Let me ask you, Logan, your opinion. Would Raw feel different or better if Finn Balor didn't get hurt and was the champion right now?
No, I think Ben's right on point. Maybe it would provide some different matchups and different ways they can go with Finn. Maybe him and Owens could have feuded or anybody else, but I think Raw's kind of set in its ways, and it would kind of be a mess regardless of who the champion was.
Yeah, I think it would be a little different because Finn is so great and the character's so great.
The matches would be amazing.
Yeah, I think we would see a, like, I think this pay-per-view, I don't know where Owens would fall in this. Owens may be facing Finn Sunday as the challenger.
I think I heard maybe they were going to do a triple threat with Owens, Jericho, and Finn Balor to kind of.
Yeah, I think I heard that too. Actually, right? I think I did hear that.
Yeah.
So would Rollins face Sami Zayn? Ooh, that would be sexy.
Oh yeah, that would be a good match for sure.
Because you got two guys. What do you think of that, Ben? Because there's two guys. Have they even? I don't think they've even faced each other.
Maybe in ROH, but yeah. not in WWE.
No, I don't think so. Definitely not in NXT.
Did they not have a Raw match like a month ago? I don't remember.
Oh, that's right. It was in the.
Yeah.
It was one of those setup matches for the four way. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Good call, Logan. I forgot about that. That's right. And that match was very good.
It was really good too, though.
It was. So I don't think we can indict the pay-per-view Sunday for how bad Triple H is never bad. indictment of Raw being so bad and blaming the pay-per-view. Because if you remember, 2 weeks ago, and I was saying this with Nate on the show when we were previewing Backlash, that, man, this pay-per-view seems a little thin. And they have a very thin roster, and with Chad Gable getting hurt, and American Alpha not on it, and the Usos having to wrestle twice, and then Orton wasn't cleared, so that match got blown out. Wow, this pay-per-view was going to suck. And in the end, it ended up actually being a pretty good pay-per-view.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think we're in for a good show Sunday. I really do. And we'll on the other side of the break, we'll break down the card and do our predictions. But I think we're in for a good show on Sunday. I think everybody's going to bring their working boots. I thought the crowd in Richmond was really good, and that place only seats like, I don't know, 9,000, and this is like an NBA arena, so it seats like 20. Excuse me. So, and I'm sure even with the blocked off spots, it's still going to probably 12 or 13,000. So it'll still have a bigger crowd than Backlash did. Because the old Richmond Coliseum, I think, only seats like 8,000 or 9,000. Maybe it seats 10, but it definitely didn't have 10. So I'm not going to indict the pay-per-view for the fact because Raw has been atrocious. And on another thing, I didn't realize that the padding on Raw was also gray. I thought it was black. I thought it was still black, and I thought just the padding on SmackDown was gray. But the padding on Raw has been gray, too, and I don't know. I think that takes away from it. I think it was better when it was black and red. And the gray was on. This is just an aesthetics thing for me. That the padding and the barricades and everything are gray on both shows. I think it looks great on SmackDown, but I thought that it should have stuck with black on Raw. But that's just me. All right, why don't we take a break and reset, guys? Tremendous first segment. When we come back here on Main Event, we will preview Clash of Champions on Sunday. And we'll get our picks and predictions and have a little fun. So, Main Event, Scott, Ben, Logan, more after this.
Okay.
Because?
Very good.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you're subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Just head to iTunes today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed, the PWO PTBN feed, PTBN Pop, and of course the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Some really great stuff. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. Thanks for being a fan of professional wrestling. More importantly, thanks for being a fan and supporter of the Place to Be Nation.
Place to Be Nation is JT Rizzuto here. In addition to the archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Friscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, in our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. Relive Wrestling's Past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. All of this in addition to Scott Keith's Podcast of Doom, which includes discussions on questions from listeners as well as current day and old school wrestling. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows are available on PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network. That's the PWO PTBN Podcast Network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode number 62. The main event. Jack Scola, Ben Morse, Logan Broslin. PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Speaking of our good friend, Mr. Croslin, sir, you and I continue to update the world on the world of college football. And the most recent edition of the Campus Hot Takes is up. And did you see a picture? Like the picture I picked this
week? Oh, yeah.
Nice picture of Louisville laying a beat down on the Seminoles. Are they for real, or does Florida State suck? As a matter of fact, what a perfect year, Logan, for Florida State to be on the season series on Showtime. For those that don't know, you know, HBO has Hard Knocks. They do NFL. Well, Showtime does it for college football. Last year, they did it for Notre Dame. This season, it's Florida State. So I didn't watch it yet, but I'm looking forward to the episode this week. After the 43-point, you know, bitch slap that Louisville handed Florida State. So that's one of the many things we discuss, including, oh, my God, Notre Dame, USC, Oklahoma, combined 3-6. Army, Navy, Air Force, 8-0. What are we, in the 1940s? Anyway, check out the most recent edition of the Campus Hot Takes, Logan and I giving you the skinny on college football this past week, and then previewing, we give you a little menu at the bottom of the column of what to watch this week. What do you think's the big game this week, Logan? You saw what I listed. Anything, any of those strike your fancy? I tell you something, Butch Jones needs to show up this week. Tennessee's kind of sleptwalk their way through these first few games. They will not do that against Florida, my opinion.
Yeah, that game's big. I mean, that's a true test to see if Tennessee's for real. I mean, they haven't. I mean, other than the second half against Virginia Tech, they haven't shown that they're a national championship contender, to me at least. And then the Georgia Ole Miss game would be one to watch to see if Jacob Eason, the freshman quarterback for Georgia, can handle. I think it's at Ole Miss.
It's at the Grove.
Oh, it's at the Grove. Yeah, well, yeah. It'll be good to see if he can handle the road test against a really good team.
Right. Yeah. No, so. I think so too. Ben would comment, but he only talks sports with Andrew Reich. So.
Yeah, I hate to go. go ahead, Ben.
No, I'm talking exclusively 90s basketball on the NBA team.
That's right. On the NBA team.
That's how
podcast.
My contract is structured for Place to Be Nation.
So anyway, check out the most recent edition of Logan's and my Campus Hot Takes. The excellent WWE Network adventure continues today up on the site. The January 11th, 1985 episode of World Class Championship Wrestling. That's myself, my man JR, Chad, Greeny, Dan McGinn. We give our opinions of the show, best match, best segment, biggest surprise, what sucked, et cetera, and we're watching everything on the network in chronological order. So check it out. The January 11th, 1985 episode of World Class Championship Wrestling is the most recent piece up today. The PTBN Seinfeld series rewatch continues. The Soulmate, Season 8, Episode 2. That's, of course, JR, Aaron George, Mr. Flanagan, Jordan, and Greeny. They've been doing it since the beginning, and they haven't missed a week, so which is pretty amazing since it's close to 2 years old. So check it out. Our man Glenn Butler, with his Wednesday walk around the web. The most recent episode of Lucha Undead. Mr. Buckner, the most recent shoot interview was with me. So check it out. Ben knows one of the topics of the shoot interview.
I'll have to check that one out.
It's very good. I never say anything bad about Ben, but Ben knew that story was going to come up. So if you want to know what I'm talking about, listen to the interview. It's a great and I also tell a great story that I never told anybody about a condition I was in during a podcast recording. So if you haven't listened to it yet, check it out. But it's a tremendous, tremendous listen. So check it out. Lucha Undead. And I think at one point, I think the Core Four, the website Core Four, myself, JR, Chad, and Brad may actually do a combo one sometime down the line. That should be interesting. So anyway, check out the most recent episode of Lucha Undead. Speaking of Ben Morse and the only sports show he goes on, the most recent NBA team podcast, Mr. Reish and Mr. Murray continue the 2016-2017 season preview. JR and I are continuing our Vintage Vault refreshes. We did the SummerSlam Spectacular from the Sunday before SummerSlam 1993, so check that out. Mr. Brian Bayless with your Raw recap. The newest episode of Geek and Sassy, which is, of course, on the PTBM Pop feed. Check that out. And, of course, JR and I on Monday night did the most recent episode of the Play Podcast, episode 420, the final 420. episode 420, and there was no RVD sighting. It was the last pay-per-view of 2006, Armageddon. So check it out. Also, you can go right to... If you don't have time to go on the site and you need to go to Amazon.com, you can go right to the link, PlaceBeNation.com/Amazon, and you'll go right to Amazon.com, but you will still be connected to us, and when you buy something on Amazon, we still get a little taste to keep the site running. But we'd love for you to go to the site first and then click on the link on the right, but if you have to go right to Amazon for something, PlaceBeNation.com/Amazon, go right to it, and you'll still get your stuff on Amazon, and we still get a little bit kickback to help us run the site. Check out the various podcasts here on PlaceBeNation.com, and of course all of the publications, JR and I, with our ebooks. We have three of them out right now, and we continue to work on them. Follow us on Twitter as well at @PlaceToBeNation. PlaceBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. All right, guys, it is time now to stick our necks out and let's preview and predict this Sunday's Clash of Champions. We have, as I mentioned, 8 matches total, 7 on the show proper, and 1 pre-show match. The pre-show match is 2 of the women in the women's division. Alicia Fox, actually, Ben, you mentioned this in the first segment. Alicia Fox and Nia Jax. You can almost consider it a number 2 contender match. Maybe a number 3 contender match, since there's 2 number 1 contenders. I'm assuming Nia Jax is going to win this. I don't think there's any question. Correct?
Oh, yeah, huge squash.
Yeah, I think so too. Ben?
Unless Nia Jax comes up with a wellness policy in the next few days, then I think we know how this is going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's interesting that it brought back Alicia Fox's crazy character just for this, just so she can get sacrificed and seem like she means a little something to Nia Jax, but it's all in the service of getting Nia Jax over.
Right, exactly. So Nia Jax should win that easily. All right, let's go to the the pay-per-view proper and the official matches for the show. We'll begin with the Cruiserweight Championship. Your champion is TJ Perkins, and he takes on the Brian Kendrick, and I really think he should bring out Ezekiel Jackson as well, because that would be pretty awesome. I can't see TJ dropping the belt this quickly. I think this is just for Brian Kendrick to give him a good match and kind of put him over. So I think Perkins retains. Logan, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, Perkins definitely will retain. It should be a very entertaining match, but I think they want to go a little while with Perkins, so I think he'll definitely pick up the win.
Ben, what have you thought of Kendrick? I feel like he's wrestled a little different than your normal cruiserweight, almost like a grizzled cruiserweight.
Yeah, I mean, well, you haven't seen him in the Cruiserweight Classic yet, right, Scott? Because you said you hadn't watched Classic.
No, when I'm at work and they have it up on the one of the monitors in our work area, like on a Thursday or whatever, when they re-air the next day, I'll catch pieces here and pieces there of his. So I've caught, if there's one guy whose matches I've seen the most, it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's kind of wrestled like this grizzled striker kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's wrestling like the guy who is on his last chance and has something to prove. Like, he has to prove he's still got enough to hang with these kids. I'd recommend his match with Anthony Nice. It was an awesome match. Mm-hmm. I had no idea which way it was going to go, but Kendrick has really earned his way back into the good graces of the wrestling public. I mean, he has looked great in the Cruiserweight Classic. He totally kept up with the younger guys. It's great to see him back, and it's a real feel-good story of a guy who, you know, never really pissed anyone off. And same as Rhino coming back. It's nice to see this guy who had a good run but didn't have a great run. Now he gets to have another chance. That said, TJ Perkins was the guy I was rooting for from the beginning. I picked him to win the whole tournament, and I was amazed that he did. I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't think he would beat both Johnny Gargano and Kota Ibushi. That was insane. So I think they're all in on working on making TJ Perkins a star. He's the right guy for it. He's the perfect face of the division, and I think he'll hold on to it here. And like you said, Kendrick is there to basically be an experienced worker who can help make him look good, who can help work him into the WWE pay-per-view style and kind of usher in this next era of cruiserweight wrestling. Hmm.
Yeah, I think so too. Excellent analysis, Ben. I think Perkins, I think he does it as well. I think I'm wondering who the next – does Grand Metal – or I should say it the way that Morrow says it, Grand Metalik – is he the guy that's going to be the next champion? Do you think eventually he's the one that's going to beat TJ somewhere down the line?
I think your boy Cedric might be in line eventually.
Yeah, I was going to say Cedric probably.
I hope so. God, I hope so.
I think he would eventually be the guy to unseat TJ because he's such a crowd favorite.
He's awesome. Ugh. In case you don't know the backstory, Logan, Ben does. I watched him on TV in Ring of Honor, and I mean, he was okay. I liked his character, but when I saw him live last year, when I went to the Royal Rumble in Philly, a bunch of us went, Place B Nation went en masse. The night before at the old ECW arena, they had a TV taping, and the showcase match of the taping was a six-man. It was Cedric Alexander, ACH, and Seidel against AJ and the Young Bucks. And this match, it might be, and I've been to, again, I'm older than anybody. I've been to plenty of live shows. This might be the best live match I've ever seen in my life. I mean, that's how great this match was. And from that moment on, I love Cedric. I just love the way he works. And when he was in the tournament, I was pumped. I had a feeling he wasn't going to win it, but I knew he'd go far. And then when Triple H came out and kind of put his arm around him after he lost, I was like, all right, I'm feeling good now. So
that way he should definitely be your guy.
Yeah, well, that too. See? Cedric Alexander is good for business. But it doesn't matter who. I don't want to take the belt. I'm not, and believe me, I'm not taking the belt off TJ Perkins. He's earned it. I'm just looking ahead to see what would be on the horizon for some of these other guys. But I think he retains the title, too. And I think Brian Kendrick's going to give him a fantastic match. All right, next up, we'll go off the title match for a minute. It is now match number 7 of the Best of 7 series between Cesaro and Sheamus. Predictable storyline here. Sheamus took the first 3. Cesaro took the next 3. Some people are thinking outside the box here, Logan, and actually think Sheamus will win this match, which would precipitate Cesaro moving to SmackDown. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Cesaro will win the 4th straight. I think they're just going to keep very inside the box booking, and I think Cesaro will win match 7 and the number 1 contender, because I think a Cesaro-Owens feud down the line will be pretty awesome. Or do you think they will go outside the box and Cesaro loses and maybe moves to SmackDown or whatever? What are your thoughts on this?
I definitely think Cesaro deserved it, which means Sheamus will probably win, honestly. just because anytime I think Sheamus shouldn't get another title opportunity, they just give it to him. And anytime Cesaro has a shot at getting a championship match, it just seems like they always pull the rug out from under him. I really think Cesaro will win just because it's the better story, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Sheamus wins.
What are your thoughts on this so far, Ben? Do you think they'll go outside the box, or you think that Cesaro, you know, they'll just have Cesaro win because he's a easy guy to feud with Owens down the line?
Well, first of all, I think both guys deserve a lot of credit for being able to go out and have 7 matches in about 7 weeks with each other and still have the crowds up and keep the interest going and make the matches different every time. These guys are not just Cesaro, who I think gets a lot of credit generally, Sheamus too. They're 2 of the better workers in the company, and they really proved something with this series. And I think in the end they'll both be rewarded by the powers that be. Now, that being said, I think you already saw the going to SmackDown storyline happen with Jack Swagger, whether anyone cares about that or not. I don't think they would then send Cesaro over to SmackDown as well. So I think that means he's staying here. He gets the win. He goes on to face Owens at whatever the next pay-per-view is before Survivor Series. But it would not be the craziest thing to see Sheamus win, just because I feel like that's the type of swerve they would do. Like Logan said, that's the type of like last minute, you couldn't guess what we're doing switch that they do. But officially, right. I'll take Cesaro.
I think Cesaro's going to win too. I don't think they're going to. I think they're just straight up booking this. I think they like Cesaro on Raw. Right now, I don't think he'd fit on SmackDown at the moment, believe it or not. I mean, unless he feuds with Miz, but I don't
Miz,
I don't know if that's going to happen, though.
They already did that in the spring.
Yeah, and the only way I could see Sheamus winning this feud is if Rollins wins Sunday, and I don't think that's going to happen. So we'll get to that feud. We'll get to that match in a minute. So we're all in consensus they're going to that they're going to stay inside the box, and Cesaro will win four straight and win the series. Okay. Next up, let's go to a match that's got a lot of interesting discussion to it. The United States Championship on the line. Your champion is Rusev with the lovely, luscious Lana taking on Mr. Roman Reigns. I'm kind of torn on this. I don't know who to pick. I'll tell you why. Common sense would tell you, you know what, if the fans would shut the hell up if Reigns is U.S. champion and he sits on that belt for about 8 months, then everybody will just, you know, be quiet and move on. Or Vince will be like, no. I want Roman in the title picture. Keep it on Rusev and let him lose to some other mid-carder. Roman needs to be clean for when he eventually beats Owens. So it all depends on who gets their way. Ben, who gets their way?
Well, I already said earlier in the show that the love affair with Roman Reigns is not over as far as the brass at WWE is concerned. But I do think they blink and put the U.S. title on him to pacify things a little bit. It seems like with Cesaro, with Rollins, they've got a few ready-made challengers for Owens to keep him busy. He'll be, you know, feuding with Balor when he gets back, even if that's not for a while. They've got enough babyfaces to keep him going. I think someone has finally gotten in Vince's ear and convinced them that Roman needs some sort of pseudo cool-off period, although being U.S. champion is hardly a pseudo cool-off period. But I think, you know, I'd be happy to see Roman as U.S. champion and getting the work done on the undercard, working his way back up to the main event.
Okay, what do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I think he could do some good in the mid-card, but I honestly feel like somebody else maybe could use the rub beating Rusev a little more than Roman Reigns could, because I don't think he really needs it necessarily. But, I mean, I guess he could use that mid-card run to build himself back up in the fans' eyes. But I think Rusev will win somehow. I'm not sure how. It may be a DQ or something like that. But I see Rusev winning, honestly.
Hmm. Okay, so I like that. We got a split here. Ben is going the way of the thinking that giving Reigns a belt will shut everybody up. And Logan is going with the, nope, Vince wants this guy to be the greatest thing on the planet, so let him lose cheap so he can be, his waist can be clean for a belt red instead of a red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I don't think they could hold off him keeping him in the event that long. So,
all right. Okay. Yeah. All right.
It may be to the detriment of him, but you know.
Yeah, I'm torn here. I half agree I agree with you, Ben, because I think it's just an easy thing just to make him a U.S. champion, so everybody will just shut the hell up, and he won't get booed as much, depending who his feuds are with. But Logan, you're making perfect sense that here's a guy who they just want to keep at that level because Vince loves him, and, you know, damn be it all, we let the little scrawny midget have his way 2 years ago, and look, we broke him down, and now he's done. So, man, I don't know.
The one thing I'll say to maybe sway you, Scott, is I don't see them ending this feud with Rusev on top and Roman looking bad. Like if they need to have Roman ultimately win this feud. If he doesn't win this feud, he's a little bit cooked as a future championship contender. So I think that's the other reason I think he's got to win.
Yeah, that's why that's what I'm thinking too. I'm going to go with Roman to win, but I wouldn't be surprised, Logan, if Vince decides, because it's ultimately when it comes to Roman, Vince has the I know Vince has the last say in everything, but with Roman most definitely. But I'm going to go with Ben here, and I think Roman Reigns wins the U.S. title. Next up, back to the only other match on the card, on the main card that is not for a belt, and I think this thing is going to be a silent classic. Sami Zayn and Chris Jericho. As we've mentioned, Jericho is tremendous. Great line on Raw when Foley made fun of his vest with no shirt and a scarf, and he goes, "It's hot in Luxembourg," and he's getting that cool Bobby Fish mustache now going. So, I mean, Sammy wins, right, Logan?
I honestly could see Jericho winning and the feud continuing, and maybe Zayn will end up winning the rivalry. But I could honestly see this one going past Clash of Champions, honestly.
Okay, so you like Jericho here?
Yeah, I'm going to pick Jericho.
Wow, okay. All right, what do you think, Ben?
I think Logan makes a good point that it could be an extended feud. That would make a lot of sense so they don't go right back to Sammy and Kevin Owens. But on the other hand, I think, you know, Jericho's role at this point is to be not only gatekeeper for the title, but to be gatekeeper for his best friend, Kevin Owens. It suits him perfectly. So I think Sammy needs to get past Jericho in order to get to that next level and become a challenger for Owens. But, you know, I don't know. Logan's kind of won me over. I'm going to officially pick Zayn, but I definitely can see the case for this being the first match in a longer feud. And if that's the case, Jericho gets the win.
I'm going to go with Jericho here. I think he's going to win under nefarious means, you know, little, you know, trunks pull or foot on the rope, something, you know, typical old school 80s WWF house show stuff, Greg Valentine kind of way. I could see that easily happening. So I'm going to pick Jericho, too, because I think this feud's going to continue as well.
Yeah, I think you guys are on to something. But yeah. I'll just to make things interesting, I'll pick Zayn.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me either if this is a one-off thing.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, it could go either way, honestly.
But I think Jericho wins this first one. All right, next up, here it is, the triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship. Your champion, of course, is Charlotte, taking on both Sasha Banks and Bayley. Let's look within the match to the storyline. Do we see some sort of a mini, I don't say a mini heel turn, but Charlotte does not have to be pinned. Does Sasha pin Bayley to win the title? Well, let's go around the horn and see who we pick, and then I'll go from there. Ben, who do you like here? Charlotte retain, Sasha win it back?
I think the whole point of doing the triple threat is to hold off taking the belt back off of Charlotte. It's to add some intrigue with the other two girls fighting each other. I think they blinked a little too early and took the belt off Charlotte before SummerSlam, realized in retrospect they have something really special in Charlotte as a heel champion. She can really go the distance and, just like her dad, make it really count who's going to beat her. So I think if they had wanted to give it to Sasha, they would have kept it as a one-on-one match, or they would never have taken it off Sasha in the first place. If they wanted to give it to Bayley, they're certainly not going to have Bayley's first title win being a multi-woman match. I think they'll both have their day in the sun, but for now, it's Charlotte's belt.
Okay. What do you think, Logan?
I definitely think Charlotte's going to retain. I think we might be looking at maybe a mini little heel turn for Sasha Banks, or maybe the start of one at least. I think Charlotte will pin Bayley, honestly, and maybe that'll lead to Sasha Banks getting pissed off that she didn't lose, but, you know.
Okay. I think Charlotte...
I can see that happening.
Yeah, I think Charlotte's going to retain as well. I think she pins... I think she pins Bayley too. I think Sasha will put somebody's going to get put in the bank statement, and I think it gets broken up. I think we'll see Dana Brooke obviously get involved in some capacity. Could Dana Brooke? Is there a possibility that Dana Brooke could screw something up and cost Charlotte the title against and Sasha wins it? Is that a possibility, Ben, or no?
I don't think so. I think if anything, her interference will finally work to Charlotte's advantage.
Doesn't I mean, obviously, it's leaning towards Dana Brooke turning face at some point down the line.
Sure.
Is that balance out? I mean, Sasha is just such a great heel.
Yeah, I do think we would not be hurt by getting a heel Sasha Banks run on the main roster. She was so good as a heel down in NXT. The crowd loves her like tremendously, but I think she feels more comfortable as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
I think she works better as a heel. That character works better as a heel. So I wouldn't be shocked to see what you guys described.
Okay. Yeah. So I think we're all comfortable in saying that Charlotte will retain the Raw Women's Championship against Sasha and Bayley. Next up, the Raw Tag Team Championships, the Penny Belts, your champions, still the New Day, in a rematch from SummerSlam, taking on the Club, Luke Gallows and Machine Gun Anderson, using his Ring of Honor name because it's cool. I mean, does it finally come to an end? Are there any other heels right now that would make any more sense for the New Day to drop them to? I mean, really, the Club is the team. I mean, what other heel team? Not Primo and Epico, for God's sakes. Nobody else. I think it's got to be the Club. No? Logan? Is this their time?
Yeah, I think the Club finally gets it done this Sunday, honestly.
What do you think, Ben?
Yep, I'd agree with both of you guys. I think it makes sense for the Club to go over. They're a legit team. I think down the line somewhere, you're going to build to a great feud between them and Enzo and Cass. I think, you know, maybe around the time when it counts, Enzo and Cass will get the belts. I'm most interested to see what happens with New Day without the titles. I mean, it's such a baked-in part of who they are.
Right.
But I would love to see them maybe become singles wrestlers who still unite when they need to, or spin Big E off into a bigger push, or, you know, just all the different things they could do with New Day. I'm kind of excited for the possibilities of what New Day could be without the tag team titles.
I think you can add, and I think down the line, all three of these guys could end up being very good singles stars. I could see an epic heel turn for Big E where he just gets fed up and just kills both the smaller guys.
Mm.
I think a heel Kofi would just be just way too awkward to watch, and a heel Xavier would be cool, but you know, I don't know what he could do to those guys.
I don't think they necessarily need to break up, though. That's the one thing, is I want to see them weather the storm of not being tag team champions and at the same time not break up as a unit. I don't want it to be just like written that they lost the tag team title, so now they have no reason to be an alliance anymore. That's why I want to see them, you know, try something different.
I think that's awesome. I think that would be great to see, because now that's the final test for those three guys, is to try and put this match, is to try and be who they are without the straps, because it might be more difficult when they've got a chase, because they're not as kind of, you know, pompous with the bootios and chucking the cereal into the crowd and all that kind of thing. It would be tough if they were not champions to be that pompous and fun. So it might be a good test for these three guys to lose Sunday, have to chase the Club, and see if they can still be this funny and this pompous when they're not at the top of the food chain. So it's very interesting. And finally, our last match, the WWE Universal Championship, the Red Belt, your champion, Kevin Owens, taking on Mr. Seth Rollins, and then Mr. Ben Morse. You.
Handicap.
He would love a handicap match. I think we see Triple H again. Screw Seth Rollins.
I mean, I already called that shot earlier in the show, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see Triple H again, probably building towards, if they want to make Survivor Series a big deal, they'll hold off on Triple H Rollins until Survivor Series. Maybe Rollins gets another shot at the next Raw brand pay-per-view. Maybe he's in a triple threat, but I don't think he's getting the belt here. I think Rollins getting the belt back is a long ways off in the future. I don't even foresee when it's going to happen. I think Owens is the guy they're committed to for the time being. I think Triple H is the method by which he wins.
Right.
I think these two will have a great match. And I think it'll be a fitting way to cap off Clash of Champions. It'll be a nice signature match to end what should be a good evening of wrestling.
What do you think, Logan? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, Yeah, it should be a great match, and I do think we'll see Triple H. I just hope this time he shows up the next night to explain why he did everything in the first place and maybe why he interfered.
Yeah, I hope this doesn't become another storyline that they wait too long to explain, you know, a thing that they don't give a reasonable explanation for. He should come out and say, you know, I screwed Seth Rollins because he was trying to take everything from me because he's the younger version of me because he stole my move, whatever. Just give us something.
Yeah, he doesn't need to disappear again.
Yeah.
All right. So there are our predictions for Clash of Champions. Oh, me? I agree with you guys. Well, that's what I said. I think Triple H is going to come out and do it again. I think he's going to do it again. No, I agree with you guys. I think he's going to do it again.
Yeah.
So there you go. There is Clash of Champions. The next pay-per-view after that is exactly 2 weeks from tonight. So we'll have another preview special on the main event, which is No Mercy, the SmackDown brand. That'll take place in Sacramento on October 9th. So, yeah, the next main event will be a preview for that, too. Right. Then, of course, we go off script because 3 weeks after that is the next Raw pay-per-view, which at the moment is still Hell in a Cell on October 30th. Oh, that's in Boston. That's in your old backyard, Benji.
Yeah.
So I think it's still Hell in a Cell at the moment. And then Survivor, and then Survivor Series is in Toronto because they got that cool. They have an NXT takeover before that, and then I don't know what the hell. It's not TLC. I don't know what the hell the December pay per view is. I think it's Unforgiven or something like that. I think they brought back another Attitude Era pay per view, but name. But anyway, Roadblock. That's what they called it. They stole the name from that weird mid show that they did before WrestleMania last year. I think it's called Roadblock. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Before we go, Logan, usually we kind of, you know, introduce and indoctrinate our newest guests. So tell us a little bit about your fandom. What was the first time you started watching? Who were some of your favorite, you know, wrestlers when you were a kid? Like, how did you get into being a wrestling fan?
Well, I was born in 93.
All right, I don't need to hear anymore. I don't need to hear anymore. All right, fuck that shit. I watched Razor Ramon win the IC title when you were born.
Yep. Yeah, that SummerSlam spectacular show y'all reviewed was like right after I was born. So. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. If D'Amato was here, he'd say something ridiculous. But okay. All right, I'm okay. I'm over it now. Go ahead.
Yeah, but my brothers were big fans when I was born. They were fans for a little while into the Attitude Era. But mostly, to begin with, I just watched a bunch of old tapes that they had. We had, like, SummerSlam 1991, which was always one of my favorites and still is.
Great show.
We had a bunch of King of the Rings. I think we had 93, 94. And I just collected a bunch throughout the years and got caught up and just learned how everything fit together throughout the years. And I really started watching week to week in like 2002, so I kind of picked a bad time to pick it up. But, you know, that was pretty much when I started watching week to week. But that's mainly because my parents wouldn't let me watch for a while there, so...
Well, if honestly, it made sense because if the first storyline you watched was Triple H in a cane mask humping Katie Vick, I wouldn't watch anymore either at 9 years old.
Yeah, that was right, pretty much right after I started watching. Honestly,
oh my God,
yeah, it was a bad. It was not a good time.
No, that's right. So who were some of your first like favorite wrestlers?
Mostly when. Before I started watching week to week, Bret Hart was always one of my favorites.
I had a feeling you were going to say Bret Hart. I don't know why. I had a feeling you were going to.
Yeah, he was always one of my favorites to watch because he always had great matches on all the tapes. And as I grew older, Shawn Michaels was always one of my favorites. Jericho ended up being one of my favorites when I started watching more of the Attitude Era kind of stuff. I always just liked his promos, and his matches were usually pretty awesome. So those are probably my three favorites that I picked up throughout the years.
Okay.
And I always like The Rock because his promos are hilarious. So. But,
yes, they are. Yes, they are. Have you ever been to like any pay per views or live shows? Like, have you ever been to any like big shows?
I went to WrestleMania 30.
Oh, okay. So, another guy. Yeah. Like Benji.
That's right. I was there.
It was amazing.
You, Dad, Reesh.
It was an all-star main event lineup.
It was. Was Nick Duke there? Maybe he was sober. I think Nick Duke. No, maybe he wasn't there. Who else was there? Graham?
It's me.
I think Graham was there. Graham Coffin.
Yeah, he was.
I think Graham was there.
I met him that weekend.
Okay. Was that your first pay-per-view, Logan?
That was my first WWE pay-per-view. I went to Slammiversary 2008, which was a pretty solid show, too.
Wow! Ben, I think this might be the first... I think this is the first time in main event history you've had a guy on who actually went to a TNA pay-per-view. Holy crap!
You're right.
It was in the South Haven Coliseum in South Haven, Mississippi. I mean, they build it from Memphis because it's close enough to where they could do that kind of stuff. But, that was my first pay-per-view, and it had a really good AJ Styles-Kurt Angle match that I always remembered.
Let's look at that card for a minute. Let me type that in. Let's see what a Slammiversary 2008. Wow, it's the first one that came up. There's some kind of symmetry going on here. All right.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, let me see what we got here. The card was, here we go. It was, dark match. Motor City Machine Guns defeated Lance Hoyt and Johnny Devine. All right. Here's the main. Petey Williams defeated Kaz in a singles match for the TNA X Division Championship.
That match was really, really good, and Kaz had like a really nasty blade job, I remember.
I love Frankie Kaz. And Petey Williams was escorted by Rocka Khan and Scott Steiner. A weird fucking combo.
Yeah, that's when Petey Williams had the chainmail, and he was doing the Scott Steiner clone thing.
Maple Leaf Muscle. Yep.
Gail Kim, ODB, and Roxy defeated the Beautiful People and Moose. I love Velvet Sky. The LAX defeated Team 3D for the TNA World Tag Team titles. I loved Hom. I always thought Hernandez would have been a great main event guy. And Homicide, obviously.
Yeah, that match was pretty good from what I remember.
Awesome Kong defeated Serena D in a singles match. Then she defeated Josie Robinson in a singles match. Both of them quick squashes.
Yeah, that's when Awesome Kong was doing the thing where she wrestled people from like the crowd, but they were actually like wrestlers.
Yeah, they were plants. Yeah, Raisha Saeed was with her. AJ defeated Kurt in a singles match. Kurt had Tomko. Match was 22-44. So that match must have been pretty awesome.
Oh, it was pretty freaking amazing. I won't lie. It's probably my favorite match I've watched live, honestly. Okay. Other than Daniel Bryan, Triple H.
Right. And in a King of the Mountain match to win the TNA world title with Kevin Nash as special guest enforcer, Samoa Joe defeated Booker T, Christian Cage, Rhino, and Robert Roode. Booker T pinned Rhino after a bookend. Then Roode pinned Cage. After hitting a ladder, Cage was holding onto his face with a steel chair. Rhino pinned Roode with a roll-up. Cage pinned Booker with a frog splash off the penalty cage, while Samoa Joe had Booker T and Coquina clutch. And then Joe pinned Roode after a muscle buster, and then Joe scaled the ladder and grabbed the belt.
Yeah, so, I think Joe was the first person to retain in a King of the Mountain match, so that was cool to witness that, I guess.
Yes, so... So there you go. That was your first. There was the card, of your first pay per view. So there you go.
Yep.
They graded 7 out of 10. TNA between like 2006 and I'm telling you, and JR and I are talking about it on the Place Be podcast while we're doing the vaults. TNA from like 2006 to 2009 was really not that bad.
No, not at all.
It really wasn't bad. It was right when Hogan and Bischoff came in that everything went right down the stinker. They got such a. Let me look at this DeSoto Civic Center.
That's what it was called.
It's now called the Landers Center, an 8,400 seat multipurpose arena in South Haven, Mississippi. It is home to the Mississippi River Kings, a team in the Southern Professional Hockey League. Interesting. the Memphis Explorers of AF2, and the Memphis Hound Dogs of the American Basketball Association. Very interesting. So that's the building that that they were in. So, well, that was a very interesting combination there, Logan, of Slammiversary 08 and WrestleMania 30. Anything since?
I went to Fastlane 2015, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
That was in Memphis, so.
Yes, it was. That's right.
Yeah.
Is that where
yeah,
you live?
Don't really...
Do you live in Mississippi?
Yeah, I'm from Starkville, Mississippi, where Mississippi State is.
Oh,
so.
You are from Stark. Oh, you're actually from Starkville.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've lived here my entire life, actually.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah, they don't really come to our neck of the woods very often, or at least they haven't for pay-per-views. So I've been to one Raw, which was in Biloxi in like 04, I think. And then I've been to three or four house shows because they come to an arena around my hometown sometimes. But
okay,
it's hard to get to shows.
Right. Oh, of course. Ben, did I ever ask you what your first view was?
My first pay-per-view was that I watched or that I went to?
Went to.
That would be WrestleMania 14.
Ah, that is correct.
Oh, no, wait. I went to King of the Ring 97 with JR. I forgot. it was a show we tried to forget.
Yes.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad.
You weren't sitting next to him. Or were you sitting next to him and he didn't even realize it? Wow.
We don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know. Well, unless he finds his ticket stub and you still have your ticket stub.
Nope. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there we go. There's your, there's this week's episode of Main Event. Logan Crosland, thank you, sir, for, making your debut here. You were fantastic. Again, check Logan out and myself every week on PlaceBeNation.com with our campus hot takes. We got some big games this week. USC Friday night takes on Utah. I think they're going to lose. We got some other, and there's some big games. I think a big boy game for Penn State this week. They're at the Big House. So check out our hot column next Tuesday. If not Tuesday, then Wednesday, but definitely we'll shoot for Tuesday. Ben, two shows in 2 weeks. I'll talk to you at Easter.
Yes. I'll see you in 2017.
You can check Ben out all the time, placetobenation.com. You can check him out here. Of course, he is the host of the weekly Place to Be Nation Rewind series. Any thoughts on
Monthly.
October?
Monthly. Stop trying to make me weekly.
I want you to be weekly. Now, the monthly rewind, of course, the monthly rewind series. Any thoughts on October yet, sir?
The plan is to do No Mercy 2002 with the Hard Traveling Fanboys. So we'll see if we can pull that together.
So you, Nick Duke, and Greg Phillips are going to talk about humping a casket.
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised? Maybe Nick Duke passed out during that one like he did for WrestleMania 32. All right. Ben, always a pleasure. For
you,
Ben
sir.
Morris, I was about to say, I wish I was Logan Crosland's age. For Ben Morris and Logan Crosland, I'm Scott Criscolo. You've been in the main event. Enjoy Clash of Champions. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks to preview No Mercy. Enjoy. 1993. You're going to be fucking kidding me. Good grief.
I can't help it, man.
I know you can't. I can't either. Change and the